Auburn leading for a five-star pass rusher? That's what I'm talking about.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five. Happy freaking Tuesday. Let's get after it. We're going to talk about a national recruiting analyst. National recruiting analyst is saying Auburn possibly leads for a five-star pass rusher. And then talk a little media days. They finally released the roster, the Auburn guys that are going to media days. We're going to break that down very quickly at the end. But before we do, you know we got to give a shout-out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results at Active Wealth Management. If you have a roster of folks that you take advice for retirement, savings, things of that nature, Ford needs to be at the top of that list. Check them out at retirementresults.com/plan. Get a free portfolio analysis. Usually take costs. Big bucks to do this. Ford will do it for Auburn fans, absolutely free. Make sure you have that. Make sure that number is going to carry you in retirement. Make sure you've taken full, have a plan to take full advantage of your Social Security benefits. Ford can do it all. He's the guy for you. Check him out. He's also an Auburn guy. Make a friend in the making as well. Give him a shout out. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you. Ford Stokes with retirement results. Presented by Active Wealth Management. All right. Yesterday, on the Auburn 247 National Recruiting Show, College Recruiting Show, Tom Loy, I'm going to be honest, I have never heard of this guy up until this past really recruiting cycle. Tom Loy has become like the Auburn insider. It's crazy. He pops off with predictions for he's starting to pop off with predictions for Auburn, like all over the place. You know, Blake Woodby decommitted from Ohio State back several months ago. The first person to put a prediction in for Auburn, Tom Loy. Tom Loy just continues to have the juice on Auburn, and which is shocking. I need to get him on the show and figure out what the heck's going on. Like, where'd you come from? And he's booging. He is booging big time. He loves the Tigers. So anyway, on his latest recruiting show, he was going through, I think, several prospects that were getting on the verge of, you know, getting closer to commits. And the first one he talked about was Blake Woodby. But then after he finished Blake Woodby, he said, "Tiger fans, I think you need to keep an eye on Jared Smith from Alabaster, Thompson High School in Alabaster. Five-star pass rusher on 247, high four-star basically everywhere else. Would be the highest-rated player in our class, number two player in the state of Alabama. Keep your eye on that one, because I think the Tigers lead for that one." And that's probably the first national. That's probably the first real public voice that has said that Auburn probably leads for Jared Smith, and you probably need to keep an eye on him because it's possible he could be making a decision soon. So that's the first real voice that's kind of put that out there, that, you know, Jared Smith may actually be considering an in-state school. The Jared Smith recruitment's been kind of interesting because I don't know if you remember, there was a guy from Vestavia Hills last year. His name escapes me. I believe his name was Jordan something, but he was he was another pass rusher, and he was close to a four and five star. And for whatever reason, Auburn and Alabama were just not in it. Like, he was just not considering Auburn and Alabama. And good player, by all accounts. He was a very, he was a five-star for a long time. He may have dropped to a really high four-star. But regardless, he had no interest in staying in state. I think Georgia was one of the big players in his recruitment. And then, obviously, I think he ended up at Tennessee. But sometimes there are those players that just have the desire to have nothing to do with the in-state schools. It's strange, it's rare, but it does happen, and it happened recently. It happened last recruiting cycle. So I think Jared Smith was kind of labeled one of those guys. He was kind of one of those guys. You know, I may want to just get out. It seemed like Georgia was a big player in his recruitment. South Carolina was a big player in his recruitment. He's got offers from everywhere, but just seemingly Auburn and Alabama just weren't it for him. And he's consistently ranked as he's consistently through all the ratings changes and everything, he's consistently ranked really high as far as his recruiting rankings go. Performed well at some camps, performed well at some workouts, things of that nature. So he's always been a pretty highly rated recruit, but for whatever reason, up until recently, just hasn't been a lot of in-state buzz. And I think Jared came in maybe 2 weeks ago for a workout. Auburn kind of, and I think at that time, Auburn had kind of said, okay, maybe we don't have, maybe he wants to get away. Maybe we got to look elsewhere. And I think, you had your focus on Herbert Scroggins and maybe even Zion Grady at the time. But then Jared, I think, the constant, still, even though you've moved on, still keeping in contact, I think you may have started to make some headway. Say, hey, let's get you in here for a workout. Let's get you in here for a midweek visit and see if there's something here. And I think he came in on a Monday a couple of weeks ago, had up like a really good workout, really showed the coaches that he is, he's the man. He can play at this level. He can be an elite pass rusher. And I think Auburn has, at that point in time, shifted a ton of their focus towards Jared. So I think Jared is now prime number one target at edge at, 6'6", 230, 240 right now. I think he's your number one target at edge, and I think it's very important. I was always a little bit curious as why he didn't get more looks. I was always curious at what was going on there. I know sometimes there's just obstacles you can't get past, but the constant continuing to contact and reach out, even though you may have some dudes that you feel like you're closer to landing. You saw what happened with, the Herbert Scroggins commitment. Zion Grady goes to Ohio State. Just makes it that much more important to go ahead and pull this guy off. And I think it's important for a number of reasons. Number one, I think he can be an elite pass rusher. And I think he's also got the frame to play multiple positions. So if he doesn't have what it takes to be just a, 6'6", 250-pound edge guy, maybe he can get a little bit bigger and move inside, be that other edge behind, the Keldrick Falk, take over after Keldrick Falk goes to the NFL. Another thing, Thompson High School, stud factory, his teammate, Anquan Fagans, you're going after hard. You got Caleb Harris last year. They got a quarterback coming up pretty soon. Trent Seaborn, who's lit the world on fire, is like an eighth grader. And then he's been sort of in the headlines ever since. He's a quarterback. He's a kid coming up pretty soon that's going to be highly rated out of there. Thompson High School is a football factory. It's good for Auburn to be able to get kids out of Thompson. Normally, that's been an Alabama feeder school. There's not been a good connection. And I think Hugh Freeze has an incredible connection with Mark Freeman. I think they like each other quite a bit. And Mark Freeman trusts sending his guys to Auburn now because of the connection with Hugh Freeze. So getting a kid out of Thompson is big time. And then again, the last thing, man, if you get Jared Smith and you get Anquan Fagans, you feel very, very confident Anquan Fagans probably going to be around your Big Cat weekend commit. If you get Jared Smith, that gives you number 2, 4, 5, 6, number 2, number 4, number 5, number 6 recruits in the state of Alabama. So that gives you 5 of the top 10. And then depending what happens on Juju Lewis saga, if things don't work out there, you could make a call and you could get KJ Lacy probably pretty quick at number 9 in the state of Alabama. So that could give you 6 out of the top 10. And then, Hugh Freeze said it. He put himself out there. If somehow you can flip Naeem Offord later in the cycle, once reality hits in that I got to move way up north, I got to move away from Alabama versus I could be, an hour and a half away, 2 hours away, and my mom, my parents could come see every single one of my games, just drive there, save a lot of travel expenses, things of that nature. Once that stuff starts to really sink in, Can you make a run at Naeem Alford at number one and get seven out of the top 10? Auburn really still puts a huge emphasis on, you know, still putting a huge emphasis on the in-state kids. You know, Zion Grady's another kid, you know, at the end of the cycle who's committed to Ohio State. What happens if you decide, hey, at the end, let's really push hard for him? South Alabama kid, Enterprise, is very similar to Alvin Henderson. It's hard for me to imagine a kid from Enterprise going way up north to play football. But if Auburn, you know, if Auburn wants to turn the heat up, you never know what could happen. I mean, there's a chance it could, you could get eight out of the top 10 if you could flip Zion Grady and Naeem Alford. But regardless, I think it's good news. Good news for Auburn on recruiting is starting to pick back up. You had a little bit of a lull, then you had two commits in 3 days. Then you get news that from a national analyst, this is not a Homer site, this is a national analyst with no tie to Auburn that we know of. Tom Loy may be a closet Barner for all we know, but he's come out of the woodworks and started putting in all kind of predictions towards Auburn, giving a lot of Auburn news, talked about Blake Woodby and Jared Smith on his show last night. Who knows? Once that news started happening and you kind of feel you got Jared Smith and then you got the guys at the end of Big Cat Weekend that you're looking at, the Blake Woodby and Anquan Fagans, you're starting to kind of feel a little bit of momentum coming back. Start to feel a little bit of mo coming back. And, I mean, if you add those three guys to the end of the class, you're right back in that top five category. You're right back in that top five hunt, that top five, that desire to be there in the top five of the country. You add those three guys by the end of July, and you're right back in the conversation. So I think that's good news. I think that's good news. And when someone says keep your eye on him, who knows? That could be something that, you know, happens relatively quickly. I'd imagine he'd be locked in for Big Cat Weekend. Could he be another Big Cat? Another Big Cat commit? Who knows? But regardless, Auburn seems to be in a good spot with another five-star pass rusher, and I think that's big time. Those guys are a premium in the college level and in the NFL. So you got to get as many of them as you can. Him being in state is just a bonus. So Jared Smith, the first time this has really started to pick up as this thing could be going towards Auburn. Maybe Auburn's leading. I think this is one of the first voices that I've heard that said this is, anywhere, any site that said this. I think this is going to happen. I think this is happening. I think Auburn's in a good spot. So big news there. All right, switching gears a little bit. SEC Media Days, the kickoff to the football season for a lot of people. The football season officially starts when Media Day starts, because then it's countdown, because camp starts just a couple weeks later. And then before you know it, you turn around and you're putting toe to leather. So SEC Media Days kicks off next week. One of the big talking points is always, who's Auburn going to take to Media Days? I think it sends, you know, number one, it's just there's nothing else to talk about. So you get excited about who gets taken, and you make big deals out of it. And you probably make stories out of stuff that may or may not even be there. But Auburn releases their guys. You get excited about it. Two of them, I think, were pretty easy to predict. And then one was sort of a surprise, but it makes sense. When you really think about it, it makes a lot of sense. So Auburn's taking Peyton Thorne. Basically, every school is taking their quarterback. I think there's only like three total, and they all make sense. They all don't necessarily have a established starter. I think South Carolina and Vanderbilt, maybe one other team, are maybe the only ones that are not taking quarterbacks. But Peyton Thorne's number one. Eugene Top Button Asante, he's a member of the Top Button gang, is going to Media Days. I think he'll be exciting to listen to. He's always good for a soundbite. Loves social media. So I'm sure he'll do really well with the regular media. And then the big surprise was Keldrick Falk. You know, Keldrick Falk only played 1 year of college football, and he didn't play a ton. I think it really wasn't towards the end of the season where he really started to come into his own and be a true, a true guy, a true dude on the defensive line. One of only three true sophomores of the whole deal, you know, of the whole thing. You got 16 teams taking three dudes each. I'm not going to do that math, but it's a lot of guys, and only three of them are true sophomores, and one of them is a starting quarterback. So, that's somewhat understandable. You know, Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, he's going to be their starting quarterback. If you got a locked in starter, you got to take your starting quarterback to media day. So even though he's a sophomore, that one makes sense. There's a linebacker from Texas A&M who his name escapes me. And then you got Keldrick Falk. I think it sends a big message to a lot of people. I think it sends a big message to recruits that, hey, I don't show favoritism I don't have this seniority deal. I will play the best guys and I'll let young guys be the face of the team. So if you're willing to come in and do the work, you could be a freshman leader. You could be a sophomore leader. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I want guys that want to be leaders, and I do not discriminate when it comes to age, class, whatever. If you're a sophomore, if you're a senior, if you want to lead, I want you to be here and I want you to be on the, and I'm going to promote you. I'm going to lean on you to be that leader. I think it says a lot about that to recruits and guys out there like that, that are maybe if they're on the fence, they're like, hey, I got to come in and, you know, I got to put my work in. I got to pay my dues and sit and wait. You don't necessarily have to. If you want to come in and you're good enough and you get after it, there's no favoritism. There's no favoritism. If you want to come in, Keldrick Falk came in as a true freshman, worked his way into the starting lineup, and now he's going to media days. So I think that sends a message there. I think it sends a message to the team. Hey, just because you're a senior does not mean you're an automatic leader. Does not mean you're automatically the guy here. We're bringing in dudes, and you better come to work every day ready to go, because these young guys we're bringing in, you know, five-star dudes, they're not coming in to sit. They're coming in to want to play. They, you know, especially the ones coming in with a good head on their shoulders, that they know what it takes to win. They want to come in. They want to lead. So if they want to do that and you don't, I'll take them. I'll make them the leaders of the team. I think it sends a message. Hey, seniors, you better step up, because these young guys, seniors, there's not a ton of juniors, but, you know, seniors, just your last go, you better step up, because these young guys are coming, and I'm not afraid to play them, and I'm not afraid to promote them. I'm not afraid to put them in leadership positions. So I think that sends a big message to the team, and I think it sends a message to Keldrick Falk. I think it sends a huge message to Keldrick Falk. He played good at times last year. I think, again, it took him some time to sort of get up to speed. He's put in a ton of work in the offseason in the weight room. I mean, I wish you could see this kid in person. Holy cow. Without pads on, he's a monster. I mean, he's close to 290 pounds at, you know, over 6'3", you know, 6'4", 6'5", something like that. And just very, very impressively put together. And then again, and on top of it, he just seems like a really, really good kid. I think he took a lot of pride in some of the recruitment visits, as far as official visits go. I think he was a player host for several guys, and he's a very impressive guy to just want your recruits to be around. He just does things the right way. And this is a reward. This is a reward for that. But I think it also says to Keldrick, hey, man, I need you. You know, the pressure's on, buddy. This is you. You're the face of this team. You're one of the faces of this team now, even though you're only probably 19 years old, not even 20 yet. You're one of the faces of this team. We need you this year. Keldrick Falk is the difference in this defensive line being good to great, average to great. If you got to have one guy that's able to replace the disruptor of Marcus Harris. And we think we have a ton of options of guys. We think we have a ton of options, but do we have that one guy that can go in there and mess things up? And I think Keldrick Falk can be that guy and not only be just a disrupting force, but also I think he can be a pass rushing threat as well. So if you can do this, if you can have guys that can do multiple things, you have a ton of flexibility on the offensive line. And I think Keldrick Falk is going to be that guy. And I think this sends a message to him that says, we need you this year. I'm putting you on a pedestal. I'm putting you out there. I need you to perform. I'm going to put the pressure on you. I'm going to put the pressure on you. You want it, you got it. You want it, you got it. And I think it's big for Keldrick Falk. I think it's big for Auburn as well. So SEC Media Day starts the middle of next week. Auburn goes last this time. Auburn will be on the last day, so there'll be a ton of good sound bites leading up to that. And then you know Hugh Freeze is always great. Hugh Freeze is always great with the media. And then I'm very anxious to see the questions that are asked of Peyton. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff. Hey, what makes us feel comfortable that, you know, you're going to be different from this year to or last year to this year? Eugene Asante, talk about the differences in the defenses. Talk about why he loves top button the top button and that he admires me. I'm sure that's going to be out there, and that's why he did it. And then, obviously, the Keldrick Falk stuff. I'm excited to hear him talk. So that's it for today, guys. Auburn looks pretty, sitting pretty for a very 6'6", pretty five-star pass rusher, the number two player in the state of Alabama. Seems like things could be trending in the right direction there from a national media member. Hopefully we can go ahead and lock that one down. And then, you know, we got media days to look forward to. Football season is literally right around the corner, and holy cow, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see the difference that a year makes in this team with Hugh Freeze and all the new additions. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I appreciate you guys for listening. Like this video, subscribe to this channel, follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. And we're going to get after it again tomorrow. We're going to get after it. No telling what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We'll see what happens, and we'll dive in. But I really appreciate it. Again, another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.